And we'll begin with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. Some of his last words before he ascends into heaven. Last words are important. These are his last words, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Father, we invite you again to be with us by your Spirit, to be our teacher this morning, that we would hear from you. Lord, we pray that you would change us as we meditate upon your passion for evangelism and missions throughout the book of Acts. We pray, God, that you would make us more zealous and more passionate for your glory, that it be spread in this neighborhood and in those in our lives that we have influence upon and to the ends of the earth. And so, God, be with us and help us. Have your way with us. Holy Spirit, work in us. Father, we ask that we would be changed and we would leave here more burdened, more broken, more zealous for lost people, for your glory, to share the gospel and see sinners saved. So do that, God, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Who knows the mission of our church? Anybody? Anybody know the mission of our church? I've done a terrible job. No one knows. So let me tell you, the mission of our church is on the front of every bulletin. It's on the front of every bulletin, right on the front there. It says, our mission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the mission of our church. It's an infallible mission statement. It's perfect. It's without error. It's straight from the lips of Jesus, again speaking to his people before he ascends to heaven. This is our mission. We are to spread the gospel. We are to make disciples. We're to teach people to obey all that Jesus has commanded. This is what we're called to do as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this Sunday is Mission Sunday. We're going to think about that to encourage us to be about this business. And to do that, we're going to look again at the book of Acts and see how this early church, the early church, was passionate for evangelism and missions. And so I've got 20 ways that evangelism and missions should be a priority to us as a church, to us as individuals. Number one, evangelism and missions should be a priority because Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven were an exhortation to evangelism and missions. Again, last words. Now, these are last words before Jesus ascends back into heaven. Last words, he's going to tell the disciples to do something. What does he tell them to do? What does he make a priority? If we love Jesus, know Jesus, trust Jesus, want to follow Jesus, then what is a priority to Jesus must be a priority to us. What does he say? We've already read it. Let's read it again. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We're to be his witnesses. We're to be witnesses for Jesus. We're to tell people. the good news about Jesus Christ. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, where you are, where they are. This would put this under the category of evangelism. For application to our purposes, we are to be witnesses for Jesus wherever we are. Here in Almy, I pray that God would raise up people who have a burden for this community, for Furley Street, for Chu Avenue, for Almy, for this area where God has placed us. God has placed us in this place. People, may God give us people who are broken for people in this place, that love people in this place, that want to see people in this place come to know Jesus Christ. I don't street preach anywhere else but here. This is where God's called me to be. In Jerusalem. And in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We don't only do evangelism, but there are people all over the world who've never heard the name of Jesus. People who don't have the Bible in their own language. And so we're called to go to the ends of the earth to be witnesses for Jesus. This is what Jesus said before He ascended into heaven that we are to do. Number two, evangelism and missions should be a priority because one of the first acts of the apostles was to appoint a new apostle to help them do evangelism and missions. Acts 1:21-22. And one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when He was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to His resurrection. So what is the first act of the apostles? We think about the acts of the apostles. What is one of their first acts in the book? We have to choose a replacement to help us witness about Jesus. You see how that makes evangelism and missions a priority? That's their first act. We have to choose a replacement to help us witness to the glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This should be a priority for us because it was a priority for the apostles to be witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Number three, evangelism and mission should be a priority because the Holy Spirit was given to empower evangelism and missions, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by evangelism and missions. We see throughout the book of Acts the Holy Spirit was given, and this is not the only reason the Holy Spirit was given, but a central reason the Spirit was given is to empower this witness. The Holy Spirit wasn't given so that I can take my jacket off and knock you all down and make you fall down. That's not why the Holy Spirit was given, no matter what you see on TV. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to make you feel all cuddly inside and have sentimental feelings and tingly feelings. That's not why the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was given to empower you to be holy, to say no to sin and yes to righteousness and live for the glory of Jesus and open your mouth about Him to a dying and lost world. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Self-control! And so many people in our country think that being out of control is evidence of the Holy Spirit. When one of the fruits is self-control, the Holy Spirit was given to empower us to speak about Jesus, to do evangelism and missions. Sister Mavis, I love Sister Mavis. I'm there visiting Sister Mavis in the rehab center, and the doctor comes in, and the doctor begins to talk to her about her condition and what she needs to do and how she's feeling and all this. And when he's done, Sister Mavis says, "Do you know God?" He's taken aback. And he says some sort of answer, and she wasn't satisfied. "No, do you really know God?" And she starts preaching a little sermon about Jesus and His death and His resurrection. And I'm just going, "Go, Sister Mavis." She wouldn't let him go until he heard
the good news. And she said, and I'll talk to you later about this. Amen, Sister Mavis. Amen. This should be a priority. The Holy Spirit was given to make us bold to speak of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And we see that in, again, chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Receive power to do what? Power to do what? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why is the church so fixated on soul winning? Because we have a Savior who is fixated on soul winning and gave a Holy Spirit who's fixated on soul winning and calls us to be soul winners. Acts 2, 1 through 4, 14 and 36 through 39, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 14, what happens? But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. He preaches the word. Let all the house of Israel therefore know, verse 36, for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ and Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And so the Holy Spirit's poured out to empower bold witness for Jesus. It's accompanied by the preaching of God's word by Peter. And he says, you will be my witnesses. And it's for everyone who is afar off. Everyone who the Lord our God calls. That's missions. That's missions. Evangelism and missions should be a priority because the Holy Spirit was given to empower evangelism and missions, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by evangelism and missions. Number four, evangelism and missions should be a priority because sinners being converted characterize the early church. We see over and over again in the early church people being converted, people being saved. Acts 2, 41 and 42 and 47. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They were soul winning. They went about soul winning in the book of Acts. 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We want to pray for this to happen. Lord, do it again. Do it again in Olney. Let thousands of people be saved in Olney. Acts 4:4, many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. We want to see sinners saved because we glorify our God and He deserves all glory and honor and praise. And so we want worshipers to be one to Him, to worship Him alone and lay down their false gods. And we love sinners and we want them to be saved from hell. We want to see what happened in the book of Acts happen here. We want sinners to be saved. Evangelism, number five, evangelism and mission should be a priority because it was a priority for the apostles and early Christians. All throughout the book of Acts, you see them doing this. You see them soul winning, witnessing, preaching the gospel, speaking the gospel, explaining the word of God. Acts 3, 12 and 18 through 19, Peter addressing the people. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 5, 27 and 28. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." That's what we want to do. Fill Alni with the teaching of Jesus. Sister Mavis was filling that rehab community with the teaching of Jesus. Filling that doctor's mind with the teaching of Jesus. Acts 5, 41 through 42. "And they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." In the temple, from house to house. Sister Monette is going house to house now, every first and third Saturday morning. No, second and fourth, excuse me. Second and fourth Saturday morning, Sister Monette is going house to house, telling people about Jesus, that they might be saved. And you can join her. You can join her. This is what the early Christians did, preaching Christ. Acts 8, 1 and 4 through 5. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse 4. "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ." Acts 8, 40. "As he," Philip, "passed through and preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Acts 9:20. "And immediately he," Paul, "proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" Acts 14:6 and 7. "They," Paul and Barnabas, "fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel." Acts 14:21. "They," Paul and Barnabas, "had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples." And finally, Acts 28, where Paul is under house arrest. Acts 28, 30 through 31. "He," Paul, "lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." All over the book of Acts, we see those who love and trust and follow Jesus give themselves to soul winning, give themselves to evangelism and missions. Number 6, evangelism and missions should be a priority because it and God are worth going to jail for. Evangelism and missions should be a priority because it and God are worth going to jail for. Acts 4, 1 through 3. "And as they," Peter and John, "were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody." Doing this act of evangelism is so important that we don't stop doing it, even if they threaten to put us in jail. We don't stop doing it. It's worth going to jail over. It's worth suffering for. He, Jesus, who suffered so much for us and shed his blood and bore the wrath and curse and judgment of God that we might be forgiven, he is worthy for us to suffer for. One pastor, theologian named Dustin Binge wrote this week, "Three things Jesus never said. Three things Jesus never said. Number 1, you will be healthy. Number 2, you will be wealthy. And 3, you will be successful." Jesus never said that. Three things Jesus did say: you will be hated, you will have trouble, and you will suffer. That's Jesus. And if you watch TV, preachers, you'll be taught another Jesus. A false Jesus. A Jesus from Satan that cannot save. But he'll make you rich. He'll help you love your God money. And he'll help you love your God health and wealth and success. That Jesus is satanic. No, the true Jesus, the biblical Jesus, says, come and suffer. Come and suffer. Come and die. Come and be executed for my name. Come and open your mouth. Come, disciples, all of you will die for me. All of you will die horrific, painful deaths for my name. Peter, you're going to die for me. Except John, who is exiled. Evangelism and missions. And our Lord Jesus, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is worthy to go to jail for. Number 7, evangelism and missions should be a priority because it's worth disobeying every other human authority in order to accomplish it and obey God. Evangelism and missions should be a priority because it's worth disobeying every other human authority in order to accomplish it and obey God. Acts 4, 17 through 20, the Jewish religious leaders are giving a warning to Peter and John, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they call them and charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. May God make us a people who cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You know what it's like, beloved, to have some kind of exciting news that you cannot hold back. You got engaged. You got engaged. You fell in love and you got engaged and you want to tell everybody. You want to make it, post it 50 times and let everybody know that you got engaged. Look at my ring, babies at the hand. Ring, look. You want to tell everybody. You can't help but tell everybody. We're having a baby. We're pregnant. You got to tell everybody about it. Friend, how much more? Beloved, how much more should we not be able to keep quiet about Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection? And some of you have been Christians many years. And you may remember many years ago when you first came to know Him. And you had that zeal. You had that zeal. And some older, mature Christians say, oh yes, he's just a young Christian. Pat him on the head, go about. He'll be zealous for about a year maybe, but then he'll become mature like me. Mature and dead. Don't be a mature Christian like that. Ask God to renew that zeal, that fervor, that passion you had when He saved you from hell and you felt the deliverance and you knew it and you were zealous and you couldn't shut up about Jesus. You couldn't shut your mouth about Him. You had to tell everybody. We want that. We want to be mature like that our whole life. That's maturity. That's what the apostles did. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Pray for that. Beloved, if you don't feel this, if you think, man, he's going a little over the top, settle down, buddy. Pray that God help you be. This is the Word of God. This is not Joseph. This is the Word of God. They could not but speak of what they have seen and heard. Pray that God give you that zeal again. Give you that burden. Maybe you've never had it. God, give me a zeal for the lost. Make me as zealous as Sister Mavis, who will not let her doctor get out of the room until she tells him about Jesus. I want to be zealous like Sister Mavis and Sister Monette. So what happens? Well, they didn't listen. And they got in trouble, Acts 5, 27 through 32. And when they had brought them, they arrested them, they wouldn't be quiet. They set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. That's an important verse. We believe in Romans 13 at this church. We believe we should submit to authorities, governing authorities, because God commands us to, but not in this. There's one time we do not obey governing authorities, and that's when they tell us to do anything that's contrary to what God has told us to do, and God has told us to make disciples. And so, remember this verse, Acts 5, 29, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because it's worth disobeying every other human authority in order to accomplish it and obey God. Number 8, evangelism and mission should be a priority because it's more important than feeding the hungry. We've seen this every time in these sermons. The Word of God is more important than feeding the hungry. Prayer is more important than feeding the hungry. And getting the Word out is more important than feeding the hungry. Remember Acts chapter 6? There were widows who were being neglected. They weren't being fed. And instead of giving up teaching the Word of God and praying, the apostles appointed people to go do that so that they could give themselves to the Word of God in prayer. And you read in Acts 6-7, and the Word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This must be a priority. We don't just give away food on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, though we do. We have the word of life. What does it profit a man if he's well fed and then goes to hell forever? What does it profit? What does it profit if we give you food and clothes and nice cars and nice homes and then you die and go to hell forever? That's why the church is primarily a preaching, word sharing, praying organization. It's not a soup kitchen. We're not a soup kitchen. We're a church. We preach the Word. The Word has priority. The gospel has priority. Not all the other good social matters that people want to put on the church. Jesus didn't say, go into the world and feed the hungry. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. That must be priority. And though we do feed the hungry. We do remember the poor. The Bible says that too. But there must be a priority to sharing the gospel and seeing sinners saved. It goes for abortion. We go to the abortion clinic. But beloved, what does it profit if we save a million babies? A million, trillion babies. And they get taught a false gospel by the Roman Catholic Church and go to hell forever. What does it profit? What does it profit? I have no desire to partnership with people who don't preach the true gospel. Because I want people to be saved not only from physical pain, but eternal pain. As John Piper says, we care about all suffering, especially eternal suffering. This evangelism and mission has to be priority. It's more important than feeding the hungry. Number 9, evangelism and mission should be a priority because it and God are worth dying for. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because it and God are worth dying for. Remember Stephen? Stephen in Acts 7:51, he's been preaching the gospel, the history of the Jewish people and how God has worked in history to save sinners. And he ends his sermon in Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. In verse 54, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of his execution. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because it and God are worth dying for. They're worth dying for. Last month, a young man named John Chow believed that. He went to North Sentinel Island and many people criticized him, who I believe just don't get it. And he was killed for seeking to win this people to Jesus. And all the critics sit back and write about him. He didn't prepare enough. He was young and this, that, and the other. But he obeyed God. And he gave his life to seek to save the lost on North Sentinel Island. Jesus and his gospel are worth dying for. Number 10, evangelism and missions should be a priority because even our enemies need to hear the gospel. Paul, remember Paul? Paul was an enemy of the gospel. And yet, God saved him. Our enemies need to hear the gospel. The Samaritans. The Samaritans were well known as, and the Jews were well known as being enemies of one another. They did not get along. They did not interact with one another. They did not eat with one another. They did not walk in each other's areas of existence. And yet Acts 8:25 says, "Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they, Peter and John, returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." Our enemies need to hear the gospel. Do you have enemies in your life? People that you don't talk to anymore. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Maybe that's why they don't talk to you anymore. Or you don't talk to them. You don't know Jesus well enough. Our enemies need Jesus. They need the gospel. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because even our enemies need to hear the gospel. And you need to get that. You need to remember that you were God's enemy. Beloved, you need to remember. You need to remember what you were. The Bible describes you as an enemy of God, a hater of God, deserving His everlasting wrath. Beloved, there is nothing that anyone has ever done to you on earth that is worse than what you did to God. I don't care what it is. Name the unspeakable sins. Nothing can even compare to the evil and wickedness that you've done to God. And yet, He loves you. He loves you. In your sin and rebellion and godlessness and evil, He loves you. And while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were an enemy, Christ died for you. While you hated God and didn't want anything to do with God, Christ died for you. Romans 5:8 and Romans 5:10, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now than we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Oh, beloved, think about the gospel. Jesus died for you while you were a sinner, while you were an enemy. And reconciled you to Himself. And that gospel is to be at such work in your life with such power to melt your heart that it brings reconciliation between peoples who have been enemies their whole history. Number 11, evangelism and mission should be a priority because many people don't understand the gospel. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because many people don't understand the gospel. Acts 8, 30 through 31 and 35. So Philip ran to him, the Ethiopian eunuch. He ran to the Ethiopian eunuch and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. Beloved, there is so much misunderstanding about what the gospel is. And I hear it all the time by asking that gospel question that's on the back of the bulletin. If you died tonight and God said, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? And as I tell you, over 95% of the time, I get answers like, "I'm a good person. I go to church. I do this. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. I've led 50 million people to Jesus." They give all kinds of answers about what they've done, which all means they don't have the right answer and they're going to hell. people don't understand the gospel. They need it to be explained. They need it to be explained, like Philip had to explain the scripture to the eunuch. So we need to do missions and evangelism to explain to people the true gospel and tell them there's nothing you can do to earn heaven. There's nothing you can do. Christ has done it all. Jesus lived and died and rose again. All you can do is throw yourself at His mercy and beg forgiveness and believe on Him and trust in Christ alone. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You can't do religious works to earn God's favor. You can't pray enough. You can't do enough good deeds to earn heaven. You can simply believe on the Lord Jesus who earned heaven for you by His life, death, and resurrection. And when you believe on Him, oh, you will do good deeds. But they will not in any way be so that you can earn heaven. They will be because it's your delight to do these things. If you go out today, you evangelize because it's your delight, not because the pastor put a big guilt trip on you, right? Got to go evangelize. I got to go do this because the pastor said do it and I feel guilty. And so out of guilt, I'm going to go do this. No. God willing, by the working of the Spirit, God will so work in your heart that you so love Jesus and so delight in Him that His Word and Gospel just wells up out of you that you can't help but speak about Him like if you just got engaged or like if you just got married or like if you just had a new baby and you just can't help it. I mean, who does that? I feel so guilty that I need to tell somebody I got married. So guilty. I better do it. I better tell everybody that I got married. I feel guilty about not telling anybody. I haven't had a baby. I'm so excited about it and I feel guilty. I've got to go. No, it just erupts out of joy. We need changed hearts. That's what we need. Heart change. When God changes your heart, you will speak about Him. And you will tell the world. And it won't be a guilt-driven evangelism or missions. And I don't want guilt-driven evangelism and missions. My prayer is that I show you what the Word of God says. The Spirit will work in you and move you to open your mouth more about the Savior. Number 12, evangelism and missions should be a priority because through it, God makes enemies into preachers. God makes enemies into preachers. Acts 9, 13 through 15, Ananias was told by the Lord that he's going to save Paul and make him a preacher. And Ananias says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Ananias is saying, no, Lord, not this guy. This guy is the head of the mafia, right, who's trying to kill us and put us out. You got the wrong guy, Lord. Can you imagine talking to God that way? You have the wrong guy. And the Lord reiterates his plan, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because through it, God makes enemies into preachers and apostles. I wonder who you know in your life is the kind of person you think, that person will never be a Christian. That person will never be a Christian. That God saved all these other people, but He's not going to save that guy. That's the guy you ought to start praying for. That's the person you ought to pray that God would save. Maybe it's somebody you've prayed for decades, and they're still not saved, and you're about to give up hope, and you say, that person could never be saved. Maybe they've lived a life, they're 90 years old, and they've hated God and rebelled against Him all their life. And you say, that guy could never be saved. Just who is your God? That He can't save somebody? If you think that, you have a little pygmy God, not worthy of worship. You see, our God can save anybody He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants, when He wants, the way He wants. Our God reigns. Our God can save anybody. What is that? Ted taught me the song, the gospel song, I'm Just a Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. God loves to save enemies. I mean, we were all enemies. And so who is that person in your life? Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. Keep seeking to share Christ with them. Don't give up. God is in the business of saving enemies and making them into His choicest preachers and witnesses of the gospel. Number 13, evangelism and missions should be a priority because all nations need to hear the gospel. Acts 10, 34 through 35 and 43 through 45. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him." Verse 43, "To Him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins." And the believers from whom the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. This salvation is for all nations, all peoples, Jew and Gentile alike. The gospel is a priority because it must go to all nations, and God loves all nations and wants to save people from all nations. Number 14, evangelism and missions should be a priority because the early church sent out missionaries. We see the early church send out missionaries to go and share the gospel. Acts 13, 2 through 3, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." And so we send people off. We support missions to send people. Missions proper is leaving the comfort zone of your home and crossing a cultural barrier, crossing a geographic barrier, crossing a language barrier, and going to share the gospel. I do not agree with the statement that everyone in the church is a missionary. I don't agree with that. Everyone in the church is an evangelist, but missionaries proper are those who leave. They don't stay here in the comforts of the US of A. They go. They cross a cultural barrier, a language barrier, and a geographic barrier, and they plant their lives there. And they seek to win the lost for Christ. They did that in the early church. They sent them off. And so, also, evangelism and missions should be a priority for us. Number 15, evangelism and missions should be a priority because sound doctrine matters. Sound doctrine matters. Without sound doctrine, people go to hell. And so if you love God, you love Jesus, and you love people, and you love God's glory, you're going to care about sound doctrine. Acts 15:1, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" That's false doctrine that had crept in the church, saying you have to do something. You have to do a religious practice in order to be justified. And so that was corrected. They met together. The apostles and elders met together, and they looked at the Word, and they prayed, and they said, "This is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Word of God teaches." And in Acts 16:4 through 5, we read, "As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." So they came to a decision on what the truth is, that we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And they sent this decision throughout the churches. And as the churches were fed sound doctrine and the truth, the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Why? Why do we give away books and encourage people to read books? To help you understand the Bible rightly. To help you understand the Bible rightly. A lot of people understand the Bible wrongly. False teachers. People say, "Just read the Bible." Well, Mormons just read the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses just read the Bible. Some Muslims just read the Bible. And they get the Bible all wrong. So we have to help people. And so we give away books written by sound teachers. The Bible itself says God has given the church teachers. And so we give away books to help people rightly understand the Bible. Because sound doctrine matters, and so we send out missionaries who are rightly taught, and we do evangelism the right way. So so that people will be saved and understand the true and living God. Number 16, evangelism and missions should be a priority because God is at work opening people's hearts, helping you and protecting you. Acts 16:14, the Lord opened her, Lydia's heart, to pay attention to what was said by Paul. God must open people's hearts. He has to do that, even right now, to move us to be a more evangelistic church. God has to come and act and work in people's hearts. And he's doing that. He did it for Lydia. He's saving sinners. He is at work. Acts 18:9-10. And the Lord said to Paul, Paul was scared. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking. And do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to harm you. For I have many people in this city who are my people. God said, keep proclaiming the truth because I'm with you. I'm going to help you. And I have many people here. And I believe by that he means there are many of my chosen ones who have not yet believed, but they will when you preach the gospel to them. And so keep preaching. Keep sharing the gospel. Evangelism and missions should be a priority because God is at work. God must save. He's at work opening people's hearts, helping you. He will help you, will be with you, and protect you. Number 17, evangelism and mission should be a priority because many religious people don't know God. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because many religious people don't know God. Acts 17:22-23. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you. They were very religious. They were very religious. And Paul came to tell them, this is the true God. I want to tell you about the true and living God. Beloved, there are many people who think they know Jesus, who are in church this morning, not necessarily this church, but maybe this church. They're very religious. They pride themselves in their religiosity. And they will hear Jesus speak these most terrifying words on the day of judgment. Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. We see in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus saying, many people will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord. They call Jesus Lord. They think they know him as Lord. They say, I've done miracles in your name, Lord Jesus. I've cast out demons in your name, Lord Jesus. I've done many wonderful works in your name, Lord Jesus. But Jesus is going to say to them, I don't know you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Jesus says that will happen to many people. Beloved, evangelism and missions must be a priority because there are many religious people who don't know God and are on their way to hell, and they need the gospel. They need the gospel. Number 19, evangelism and missions should be a priority because we should want all people to be saved. We should want all people to be saved. Acts 26:27-29, Paul is under arrest being in this discussion with King Agrippa. And he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become as I am, such as I am, except for these chains. The Apostle Paul is under arrest, right? He may be going to be put to death soon. He doesn't know. And yet he's talking to this king and he's preaching the gospel and calling him to repent and believe. He just never stops. Like Sister Mavis to her doctor. I would that you, doctor, become just like me except for this health condition. He's always sharing the gospel. Yet there's going to come a time when it's too late. Right? I read about John Harper this week. John Harper on the Titanic. You know the Titanic, it sunk and most of the people died on board. But John Harper was a Christian and he was running around frantically calling people to repent and believe and repent and believe and be saved. And finally the ship sank and he was in the water And there was a man bobbing around with him, and he called out to the man, "Sir, are you saved?" And the man said, "No." And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." And they bobbed around a few more minutes, and John Harper said, "Are you saved now?" And the man said, "No." And John Harper said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." And then Harper sunk to the depths of the ocean and died. But this man, right there, trusted in Christ and was saved. And several years later, he shared that story that he was John Harper's last convert. Beloved, pray that you would have that kind of zeal, that your pastor would have that kind of zeal, that we as a church would be zealous to win souls, because this is what our God is zealous about. This is what Jesus is zealous about. This is what the Holy Spirit is zealous about. And we see it throughout the book of Acts. And finally, number 20, evangelism and missions should be a priority because it's the only way people can be saved from hell. Evangelism and mission should be a priority because it's the only way people can be saved from hell. Acts 4, 11 through 12, Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other way to be saved. Jesus is not one choice among many. One religion, religious choices among many. He's not. Islam leads to hell. If you're a Muslim in here, I love you enough to tell you that. Your religion will lead you to hell. Buddhism leads to hell. Judaism leads to hell. Hinduism leads to hell. Atheism leads to hell. Only Jesus saves. Only the Jesus of the Bible, the one who is both God and man, the one who is a member of the three-person Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who came into this world and died on the cross and rose from the dead, he is the only one who saves. That's what the Word of God teaches. It's not arrogant to say that, it's humble, because humility is submitting to all that God says. And love will tell people that. Love will tell people that, even though it makes them mad. People get mad at me at Broad and Olney. Why can't you just speak about your own religion and not knock other religions? Because I love you, and you're deceived, and your Muhammad is going to lead you to hell, and I love you enough to tell you that even if you kill me. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's the only way. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Friend, it's love to tell people that. It's love, because that's the only way they can be saved from hell. Because Jesus is the greatest missionary and evangelist who's ever lived. Jesus is the greatest missionary and evangelist who has ever lived. He came and took on human flesh and lived among us, dwelt among us, left all glory and honor and praise in His beautiful, glorious, satisfying fellowship with the triune God in the Trinity. And He left and He came down and He took on human flesh and He lived among us, allowed Himself to be spit on, allowed Himself to be beaten, allowed Himself to be cursed, allowed Himself to be crucified, and bore the infinite wrath and fury of God for our sins that we deserve, and was buried, and on the third day He rose from the dead. And it's Him and His message that empowers all other evangelism. He is the center of all of our evangelism and all of our missions. He, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Have you believed that? Have you believed that? Have you trusted Him? Friend, don't be deceived. There are many people who are zealous for evangelism and missions and are going to go to hell because they do not know the God of whom they speak. They do not know the God of whom they speak. Was it Charles Wesley or John Wesley who was that? He was a zealous man for God. In the Holy Club. Prayed all this time. Dedicated to prayer and the Word and preaching and evangelism and winning souls. And then he realized, I'm not even converted. I'm doing this as a slave and not as a son. Oh, friend, don't let that be you. Believe on Him Don't trust in your missions or evangelism or your prayer or your Bible reading or anything else in your life to deliver you from the flames of hell. Only Jesus is sufficient. Believe on Him alone. Trust in Him alone. Know Him alone by faith. And then you will speak of Him with joy and delight. Not because you have to. Not because the pastor preached a sermon on you must evangelize. But because He will so change your heart that you will not be able to keep quiet about your Savior and His gospel. Jesus and the gospel are God's power for salvation. He said, "You take this message to every tribe and nation. The Holy Spirit came giving power for oration. Christ has died and risen. Bow to Him in adoration. Now we have propitiation and justification that saves from damnation. And Father, Son, and Spirit are our joy and fascination. So go and tell the world about our great infatuation. He's worthy of all glory throughout the whole creation." Father, we pray that You would truly make us infatuated with You. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we would be drunk on Your love. That we would be so satisfied in You and who You are. And what You've done, so filled with joy, Lord, that we will not be able to stay quiet about You, Lord Jesus, and Your death and resurrection. God, make us Your witnesses. Fill us with Your Spirit. Embolden and empower us to be Your witnesses to Olney and to Philadelphia and to Pennsylvania and to the ends of the earth. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet believed on the Lord Jesus, we pray that today would be the day that You grant them repentance and faith, that they believe on You and are saved. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.